Hello, everyone. We are the Economics and Religion Workshop. I am Lane Miller, and we are going to offer you a couple of snapshots regarding the intersection of religion and economics, but this is not a comprehensive overview. Also, our seminar prioritized Christianity and Abrahamic traditions, so our reflections are most relevant to those histories. Serafin?
How to build with religion a cell of wisdom. Can religious community be one of many sides of resistance against the dominant economic ideology? For me, here 2 points are interesting. First, to recognize that our currently economic that claims it makes you free truly makes you dependency. And second, to search for a collective shared identity that is stronger than the myth of individuality. We are influenced by a lot of powerful factors that determine our chances that we can be. It matters if you're born in Uganda, India, the United States, or in Germany. Freedom is in the economics, the possibility to reach whatever you want when you only hard work. But are you really free when it's not your decision if you are safe or not? What is with the uncertainty that your dreams could crash although you do everything right and work hard? That is something present in our time. Even the stock market is increasing. In a flexible capitalism, the company has the freedom to choose our future. When no curriculum vitae is the same to another, we have the free from any pattern. That's how the global north. But in the midst of individuality, it's nobody alone. Failing in our society doesn't mean that it's fault of an individual. It's the consequence of how we live together, of inequality, systemic of power, and an uncontrolled ideology of markets. On an abstract level of theory, it's clear that we are not randomly thrown together, but sorted in groups, milieus, and classes. This structure we have to recognize, and religious community can help us to build an identity, to get over the myth of individuality, to coming together as groups and build resistance against the main economy. Now, Fogg.
Thank you, Sarah. Should religion be treated as a private matter or as a separate entity from economics and politics? Are they even separate or can they even be separated? Max Weber wrote that the Protestant ethic furthered the development of capitalism, highlighting the role of religion on economics. And here in this workshop or in this presentation, we will use economics and capitalism interchangeably. And we look at the reverse of the relationship, how economics shape religion and the interdependence of the two. As argued by some theologians, finance and politics is not all there is to capitalism. It influences and shapes a person from habits to religious practices and religious beliefs, just as much as religion shaped economics and capitalism. The influence of market economy is so widespread and so deep-rooted that Robert Nelson argued that capitalism has turned into a religion. Economics has turned into a sanctified entity that cannot be questioned and it must be received as given. And he also remarked that the job of the top economist is turning more like that of a priest, in that the economist propagates and tries to preserve certain values in collaboration with the state. Just the same way neoclassical economics has remained mainstream despite its numerous flaws. Pope Francis attributes the three divine, Pope Francis attributes market the three divine characteristics: omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. Everything around us is commodified, and each commodity has a market. And in this sense, market is omnipresent. And everything around us is seen as a source of utility, suggesting omniscience of markets. and the influence the market has on human lives, or the influence this man-made institution has grown to have in our lives, suggests its omnipotence. And if religion, in the religion that we know, influences the development of the problem, here I call the incessant accumulating nature of capitalism at the expense of, or with no regard for, the rest as a problem, then the same religion can be part of the solution. And if the solution for problems in democracy is even more democracy, then the problem in religion is to go back to its origins, revive the very principle on which it was built. As Henkel and Rieger pointed out, the principal traditions of major religions like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam were born of the struggles of the people. The concept of class struggle is the source of emergence of religion, as seen in the history of Israel, where the works of God is united with the interests of the weaker sections of the society. Thank you. Let's see.
Thank you, Pokriza. I'll take it on, and I'll be talking about the intersection between religion and economic inequality. First of all, unlike neoliberalism, which is typified by the prominence of capital, the disregard of the working class, and ignorance of the structural powers that be, culminating into what can only be described as excessive inequality, religion, and specifically Christianity, centers on the underprivileged. So this can be seen in a lot of texts, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Bible talks about the returns to the earth should be available to everybody, which is a subtle way of talking about how people shouldn't be left out of the economic system that's operating in that era and in that social context. What's the implication of all this? The implication of this is that the economic system that's operating at a given point in time should not ostracize certain social groups, either by their race, either by their class, either by their religion, out of the economic system. Therefore, an economic system should be underprivileged and should be centered privileged groups. Therefore, I would say that, and as other scholars have also argued, that religion should play a prominent role in resisting and equalizing social systems and economic systems. I will pass this on to Lynn.
I'm Lane Miller. I'll be discussing religion as a moral discourse capable of emancipation. So world religions almost universally preach love and fraternity. They have well-developed systems of moral thought, and they have pre-existing structures like congregations or mosques or temples for widely communicating their moral priorities. In terms of analyzing the human experience and in changing human systems, like economics, religion can't really be avoided. Also, the emotive human landscape, love, joy, contentment, anger, fear, is actually a way of knowing. It's an epistemology. And this is a way of knowing that is missing from the methodology of neoclassical economic analysis. Such emotive capacities are prerequisites for solidarity. An emotive epistemology can understand class and view the economic landscape from the bottom up, giving us a new priority for labor and the problems of economic suffering. The utility-maximizing homo economicus of neoclassical economics is not an emotional creature. Religions maintain a contrasting anthropology or conception of human nature, and that is a more complex and nuanced one. This is the case almost independent of the political or policy persuasions of religious adherents. Even those religious adherents committed to the economic status quo must reckon with the moral demand of love in their tradition and the latent tension that creates, which can be exploited for reformation or revolution. Pauline?
Hi, my name is Paulina, and I'm going to close with the inherent problems that both religion and economics share, because we should not forget that Christianity in particular has been a driving force behind capitalism, and it continues to uphold abusing mechanisms, for example, through missionary work in the global south. In this way, power imbalances got cemented between the global north and the global south. In terms of post-colonial consciousness, therefore, the analysis of Christianity and the critical self-reflection of its history is particularly pressing. At the same time, economics need to be aware of its systematic contribution to structural inequality, and this should be addressed accordingly. We also discussed this notion of bad religion, where there is this blind faith in religious authorities, and just following them without any critical thinking. And there's also a lack of real solidarity that we need, because only solidarity will enable us to side with the weakest and direct our efforts towards the marginalized communities. We also discussed the expression of false transcendence, because actually we observed that there's a trust on models in economics or on texts in religion, and that sometimes or often they don't really capture what's actually going on. And both religion and economics should always be tied to reality instead of favoring sacred texts or mere numbers over the actual circumstances or problems we are facing. Because only then can we acknowledge these power relationships that are shaping our societies. And only then can we come together and change them.